We continue now in our verse-by-verse study of the book of Ezekiel, and we come to chapter 17, recording events that took place about 594 B.C. And we're going to look at a parable of a great eagle, which represents Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. Verse 1, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, put forth a riddle, and speak a parable unto the house of Israel." A riddle is a dark saying, and this riddle was also a parable, and a parable compares one thing to another. Here it goes, verse 3, "And say, Thus saith the Lord God, a great eagle with great wings, long-winged, full of feathers, which had diverse colors, came unto Lebanon, and took the highest branch of the cedar." The great eagle here refers to Nebuchadnezzar. And when it says that he came unto Lebanon, it actually means that he came to Jerusalem. And the reason it calls Jerusalem Lebanon is because the houses in Jerusalem, many of them were built with cedar trees from Lebanon. And anyway, it says that Nebuchadnezzar took the highest branch of the cedar. That speaks of Jehoiachin being taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar. He only served 3 months as king of Judah. Verse 4, "He cropped off the top of his young twigs and carried it into a land of traffic. He set it in a city of merchants." And this simply means that the more upscale, eminent citizens of Jerusalem were also taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar along with King Jehoiachin. Verse 5, "He took also of the seed of the land and planted it in a fruitful field. He placed it by the great waters and set it as a willow tree." The seed of the land refers to Nebuchadnezzar making Zedekiah king of Judah. And it says that he planted it in a fruitful field. That refers to the fact that Zedekiah's reign could be fruitful, and the land of Israel could enjoy prosperity if they would only submit to the leadership of Nebuchadnezzar. And that really was God's will for Israel at this time as well. Verse 6, "And it grew and became a spreading vine of low stature, whose branches turned toward him, and the roots thereof were under him. So it became a vine, and brought forth branches, and shot forth sprigs." And so it grew, and there was prosperity under Zedekiah for a short time, for as long as he obeyed God and submitted to the king of Babylon. Verse 7, "There was also another great eagle with great wings and many feathers. And behold, this vine did bend her roots toward him and shot forth her branches toward him, that he might water it by the furrows of her plantation." And this other great eagle with these great wings and many feathers, that refers to Pharaoh Hophra, who was the king of Egypt. Verse 8, "It was planted in a good soil by great waters, that it might bring forth branches, and that it might bear fruit, that it might be a goodly vine." And the point is this: if Zedekiah, the puppet king of Israel, had obeyed the Lord God, and if he had done that by placing himself and his country, Judah, under the dominion of Nebuchadnezzar, then Judah would have had some pretty good times. You know, the vine would have borne fruit. Verse 9. Say thou, thus saith the Lord God, shall it prosper? Shall he not pull up the roots thereof, and cut off the fruit thereof, that it wither? It shall wither in all the leaves of her spring, even without great power, or many people to pluck it up by the roots thereof. So God asks the question in his word, thus saith the Lord God, shall it prosper? Shall what prosper? Well, this alliance between Zedekiah, king of Israel, and Pharaoh. And the answer was no. Nebuchadnezzar was going to uproot Zedekiah, and he's going to destroy his kingdom because he didn't submit to him. He didn't submit to Nebuchadnezzar, which, again, was the will of God for Israel at this point in time. You know, you never are blessed when you're walking in rebellion against God. God never blesses disobedience. It continues in verse 10, yea, being planted, shall it prosper? Shall it not utterly wither when the east wind touches it? It shall wither in the furrows where it grew. It shall wither, says God. Means that this alliance with Egypt is going to really anger Nebuchadnezzar, and he's going to destroy it. And that's what happened. Verse 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, say now to the rebellious house, know ye not what these things mean? Tell them, behold, the king of Babylon is come to Jerusalem, and has taken the king thereof, and the princes thereof, and led them with him to Babylon. Now, God is giving the interpretation of the parable that we just read. And so this is speaking of what was referred to in verses 3 and 4. Nebuchadnezzar took King Jehoiachin from Jerusalem and all the princes along with him to Babylon. Verse 13. And has taken of the king's seed and made a covenant with him, and has taken an oath of him. He has also taken the mighty of the land. The king's seed refers to Zedekiah, who Nebuchadnezzar made king of Judah in place of Jehoiachin. He made a covenant with Zedekiah. And Zedekiah took an oath with regards to this covenant. In other words, Zedekiah made this covenant and promised in the name of Almighty God that he would keep his end of it. And so, obviously, that was something that God would hold him to. And if he broke that oath, there would be serious consequences. And here it is, verse 14, that the kingdom might be base, that it might not lift itself up, but that by keeping of his covenant, it might stand. This means that God had purposed that his people would have peace and prosperity under the authority of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. In other words, if they subjected themselves to Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, then his people would have a measure of peace and prosperity. Verse 15. But he rebelled against him in sending his ambassadors into Egypt, that they might give him horses and much people. Shall he prosper? Shall he escape who does such things? Or shall he break the covenant and be delivered? And so Nebuchadnezzar was very angry, and so was God. Zedekiah sought an alliance with Egypt, and that was flat out against the will of God, and it broke the covenant that he had made with Nebuchadnezzar and the vow that he had took with God, and as a result is going to prove to be the ruin of Israel. 16. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely in the place where the king dwells, who made him king, whose oath he despised, and whose covenant he broke, even with him in the midst of Babylon, he shall die. And Zedekiah was taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar, and we know from the narrative that he was made blind, his eyes were gouged out, and that he was dragged off to Babylon, where he eventually died. So the alliance with Egypt amounted to nothing. Verse 17. Neither shall Pharaoh, with his mighty army and great company, make for him in the war by casting up mounts and building forts to cut off many persons. Pharaoh, you know, came against Nebuchadnezzar to help protect his partner, Judah, but it amounted to nothing. Pharaoh didn't have a chance against mighty Babylon. 18. Seeing he despised the oath by breaking the covenant, when, lo, he had given his hand and has done all these things, he shall not escape. So, you know, Zedekiah broke the covenant that he made with Nebuchadnezzar, and by doing that, he also went back on the vow that he made to God. So, trouble would ensue as a result. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, as I live, surely my oath that he has despised, and my covenant that he has broken, even it will I recompense upon his own head. Nebuchadnezzar will punish because he broke that covenant. Zedekiah, he entered into this covenant with Nebuchadnezzar of his own free will. He took the oath that he would obey Nebuchadnezzar, but after several years, he rebelled, he broke that oath, he turned to Egypt for help, which turned out to be nothing. And as a result, though, of this disobedience, God cursed the king of Judah. Verse 20, and I will spread my net upon him, and he shall be taken in my snare, and I will bring him to Babylon, and will plead with him, therefore, his trespass, that he has trespassed against me, and all his fugitives, with all his hands, with all his bands, I should say, shall fall by the sword, and they who remain shall be scattered toward all winds, and you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it. So, it was terrible. And it did happen, just as God said it would. They fell by the sword. This refers to the horrible slaughter of Israelites that took place when Babylon, once and for all, conquered Jerusalem because of the king's rebellion. You know, he held the cards in his hand, but he played them the wrong way. And it was disastrous because he disobeyed God. Now, as we come to verse 22, verses 22, through verse 24, speak of the messianic kingdom, where Jesus Christ will rule and reign here on earth. So this is distant future from when Ezekiel received this message from God. Verse 22, thus saith the Lord God, I will also take of the highest branch of the high cedar, and will set it. I will crop off from the top of his young twigs, a tender one, and will plant it upon a high mountain and eminent. And again, these verses refer to the time of the Messiah, and the king will be Jesus. The king is Jesus. The time specified here is the kingdom age after Christ returns. 23. In the mountain of the height of Israel will I plant it, and it shall bring forth boughs and bear fruit, and be a goodly cedar, and under it shall dwell all fowl of every wing. In the shadow of the branches thereof they shall dwell. So this just refers to the everlasting kingdom of the Messiah. And in that day, when Jesus is here, all the nations of the world will submit to Christ. And all the nations of the world who do that, they will prosper. They will prosper, and they will not be disappointed with his leadership, because he will rule with righteousness, and it will be a great time of prosperity and peace for all, with Jesus leading the way. 24. And all the trees of the field shall know that I, the Lord, have brought down the high tree, have exalted the low tree, have dried up the green tree, and have made the dry tree to flourish. I, the Lord, have spoken and have done it. Of course, when God speaks, it's as good as done, even if it's in the future. So he speaks of it as being a done deal, and it will happen. And when he talks about the high tree and the green tree, that refers to sinful man's dominion over Israel and over the world system, which is opposed to God. God says, I'm going to bring it down. I'm going to dry it up. And when he refers to the low tree and the dry tree, he's talking about Israel. And he's going to make Israel flourish, is what he says. It's going to be the most powerful nation in the world. And this will be the kingdom age with Jesus Christ sitting on the throne. And what a wonderful time it is going to be. So a great prophecy yet to be fulfilled. Next time, chapter 18. Until next time, Michael Moret for Scripture Verse by Verse. So long, everyone.